The next subtopic concerning the Shoah is what were the reasons, spiritual reasons, why the Holocaust happened. And before we even attempt to touch that, there are basically three approaches to this question. Can you, should you seek reasons and for what purpose? One opinion, and this is something that we hinted to way back when we spoke about why bad things happen to good people, and we said that there's another shita, seemingly, than what we presented. That's the sheet of the Zohar that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings down. That is now something that we will discuss. I didn't discuss it then because I wanted to present what was the pretty much accepted Hashkafa. There are those that say that you can't find reasons for the Holocaust because the Holocaust was brought about by human beings. And human beings have the ability to do keneged ratzon Hashem. That's part of the way the world is. God gave us free choice, and our free choice can go against God's will. And therefore, it's not God who brought the Holocaust, it's the Nazis. And therefore, you can't find reasons why, because basically it's the product of human free choice. And we spent many weeks saying the other shita, that doesn't exist. Human free choice, we explained, ends with the choice. But what actually happens in the end is only God's will. So it's not that the Nazis brought the Holocaust. The Nazis intended to bring the Holocaust. God could have thwarted them. For some reason, he let them be successful. So ultimately, it's God's will. We have to understand it as that, and that we spent many weeks discussing how God's will could be something so horrendous and tragic, and we spoke about seeing the bigger picture, the eternal picture, whatever. But there is supposedly an opinion. We'll see that the way we will learn it, there is no such opinion, and therefore we'll strike that out. That since the Holocaust was human, brought about by human means, it wasn't a tsunami, it wasn't an earthquake, but it was something orchestrated by human beings, therefore the question of reason doesn't apply. The reason was that people are wicked and they did terrible things. That's one approach. Second approach is that one cannot seek reasons for the Holocaust because we are living in a time of Hester Ponim. We're living in a time when God's face is hidden, and therefore one of two things. Some go to the extreme of saying, therefore today there is no divine providence. God has left us up to the whims of nature, people. Now it's not just because of people, but basically in a time of Hester Ponim, when God hides his face, that basically means that things can happen without rhyme and reason. That's our punishment. Our punishment is that we are at the mercy of different causes that are not brought about with divine purpose. That's the punishment. That's called Hester Ponim, and therefore there's no rhyme and reason of things that happen during this time of Hester Ponim. We'll see that that is totally off base. See, clearly that's not the case, but in any case, there are those that hold like that. Or that since it's a time of Hester Ponim, even though things are, yes, orchestrated by God, but since it's so covered up, it's impossible to even imagine what the reasons could be. The reasons are covered. Not that there aren't any reasons, but Hester Ponim at least means that God's face is so hidden that we can't arrive at even possible reasons. In a time when there were prophets, things were clear, then you could associate results with the spiritual causes. When there's Hester upon him, there are spiritual causes, but they're hidden, and because they're hidden, you can't discover them. That's a second variation of this idea of Hester upon him.
That was without the prophecy, though. During the time of prophecy, without prophecy.
Yeah, maybe no. Even with what's it called? In a time of prophecy, where there was what's it called, even without prophecy, you could possibly figure out what's doing. But in a time of Hester upon him, things are hidden, bedafka, and therefore you can't find it.
What would the purpose of Navi be? Just those times when you can't?
No, the purpose of a Navi would be for other things. The purpose of Navi has a million other purposes. One of the purposes is to tell you specifically. There you could surmise. The Navi tells you exactly. Right, but not every time is a Navi instructed to tell you exactly. What does he know? So at least there you could surmise. It's not hidden, so you could come to conclusions. When it's hidden, you can't come to those conclusions. We'll see that that also doesn't hold any water. Then there is a fourth possibility of not seeking reasons for the Holocaust, and that is held by some Gedolim, including Rav Shach. The Holocaust was not the result of any specific thing, of any specific generation. It's something that accumulated over many generations for many, many reasons, and only God can know the reason for that, and therefore there's no way of us ascertaining a reason that we can point to in any generation, in anything that was done, that could bring a shed light on the reason. It's a part of the tochacha, it's part of the evolvement, development of Jewish history, and it's an accumulation of many, many things, and therefore it's beyond our grasp. That's another legitimate, obviously, way of looking at it. And then there's the fifth possibility, that yes, we can and should try to find reasons for the Holocaust, but then we'll have to understand in what light. Reasons to blame the people who it happened to and find their sins, that seems to be very sacrilegious. You're taking people of Kedoshim, and we're going to find the reasons why they deserve to have these things happen to them. So obviously that's not the intention. Then what is the intention? Then why is it important, necessary, or even allowed to try to find reasons? And who are we to find reasons altogether? Can you find reasons for tragedy without Nevi'im? And is there any purpose of doing it? Right? There were Rabbonim who, when tragedies happened here in Eretz Israel, in the not too far distant past, who supposedly made declarations as to why they happened. Right? A school bus was hit by a train, and little children were killed, and basically Chiloni children. And this rabbi supposedly said he denies ever saying it, ultimately. But he supposedly said that since there was Chil Shabbos at that time, I think in Petach Tikva or something, this was a punishment for Chil Shabbos. And what you can imagine what kind of furor that caused, if you remember. What's it called? Who was he? Little children. And basically the people he was speaking to didn't believe in any hashgacha, and this sounded to them, right, unbelievable. So is that something that one should do? Is that proper? Was he right? How do you know? And even if you know, is it something you should say? Not everything that a person knows or is right should be said, especially not publicly. So we'll discuss that also. Right? And if we're going to try to find reasons for the Holocaust, which in the end we will, in what light and to whom are those reasons to be given and to whom not? So that is a outline of what we're going to discuss for the next, I don't know how many weeks. But we won't begin discussing it. We'll start tonight a little bit. But we will not have shiurim for the next maybe 2 or 3 weeks. don't know how many weeks. Where is my wife here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are. I remember you. What? How many? 3 weeks. Okay. So next 3 weeks there won't be a shiur on Wednesday night.
Okay.
Okay, so let's start at least with the first possibility. That is that this other shita, completely diametrically opposed to everything we spoke about when we spoke about why bad things happen, that since human beings have free choice, they can do with their free choice even against God's will. And God allows that because he made this world for people to exercise their free choice. Now, on the surface, first of all, that seems extremely harsh. And we said that how could God allow such injustice to happen and not care? That, and we said that somebody believes that God permits things to happen without rhyme or reason, just because people, what's it called, so will it, has to be a very cruel God. And we said that's why the Rambam, it's one of the ideas at least in the Rambam, why the Rambam says that someone who thinks that things happen just b'mikra, they just happen to happen by coincidence. Right? Even this of human intervention is derech achzarius. It's a cruel way of cruelty. So the simple meaning of the Rambam is that since you're not going to take it to heart, you're just going to attribute it to coincidence, you're not going to do tshuva, so the tzaras will continue. Because they're there for a reason. And if you don't get the point, then the reason doesn't go away. And that means that you are extending these tzaras unnecessarily. That's cruel. But we said another meaning. That a God that could permit things to happen with no reason, but people suffer for no purpose. Not like we said that there's a grand purpose and it's all for the good. There's no purpose at all because God just was mafkered the world into the hands of people's free choice. Then that is cruel. That's cruelty. And we have a mitzvah to emulate God. And if God is cruel, then we should be cruel. So it's a way of cruelty. That kind of thinking brings to cruelty. So the Maisa, though, seemingly there are people who hold that shita. We're going to see that, the way I understand it, nobody holds that shita. But there are people who think that there are people who hold that shita. And big people. There's supposedly a Zohar. I'll read you the Zohar and you'll see it doesn't say that. There's an Orach Chaim who quotes the Zohar. He doesn't say that either. And we'll see how you really should understand it. But l'chora, there are people who quote this and who feel that this is a legitimate hashkafa. So how did they understand this? How did they look at the Ribbono Shel Olam? So I found something that can at least be redeeming to this hashkafa too. Assuming that there is such a hashkafa, again, personally, I don't think that's the case, but there are big people who do think that's the case. So how do they understand this? What are they going to do with my question? So I found an interesting medrash in, I think it's in Parshas Veschanan, Dvarim Rabba. The medrash says the following. Medrash says, Kilo yechupar, dam hanishpach ela betam shofcho. There's no such possibility. It's not in the Torah, but it's something like that. That murder can only be atoned for by the execution, by the killing of the person who did the murder. Otherwise, there's no way of expiating that sin. So the Medrash asks, I will see a lot of murderers that die peacefully of old age in their bed. So how could it be that it's always going to be, this is the only way of atonement or whatever? Says the Medrash that it's talking about not in this world, but by Trias HaMeisim. One of the purposes of Trias HaMeisim, if you remember back when we spoke about it in the last Iker of the Rambam, is to right all the wrongs that happen in this world because of human free choice. That means that this specific case, there are people who murdered people, and in this world God did not punish them for whatever reason. But by Trias HaMeisim, they'll come back to life and then they will be executed, and they'll get that punishment there. And to enlarge it, that's the case, then it doesn't only apply to that, then it can apply to a broad people who were wronged by human intervention in this world, then will be paid back in some way that it'll erase their pain completely. And the people who were able to do things and get away with it that were injustices, there will be punished for it, right? And all the wrongs will be righted in this world. But in this world, after Tchias HaMeisim, right? And that's one of the reasons why there'll be a Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam holds that the ultimate stage of existence is spiritual. And the Tchias HaMeisim is only a temporary thing. So what's the purpose of it? People died, they went to Olam Haba, right? They went to Olam HaNeshamos. They come back to this world, come back to life, and then go back to the Olam HaNeshamos. Just leave them there. If the ultimate reward is there, what do you need? Tchias HaMeisim. So one of the ideas of Tchias HaMeisim is this. You need a place where in this world, the physical world, there can be a righting of all the wrongs that happened in history. And God will see to it that the wrongs are righted to a point where the people who are oppressed will not feel the oppression anymore at all. It'll erase it. Right? What they went through will be so much compensated for that it'll be erased completely. So then justice will have been happened. And the people who benefited from doing injustice will be put into situations where their benefit will be erased completely. So it's as if it didn't happen on either side. And that will make things just. So that's one of the purposes of Tchias HaMeisim, to right the wrongs that were perpetrated by human free choice.
Like this is going to hold that Rishonim will also come back?
Everybody will come back. These the day are off. No one says that. Right? And these the Chayol. Pasuk says that. Right? That's it. Rishayim will become up with Deirom Olam and these for this. Yeah. There's no kashuk. Yeah.
Why is it that the Gehenna was mechaper for this?
Because he's talking about people who died without tshuva. And even if they died with tshuva, they didn't right the wrong to the other person, then the tshuva wasn't complete. Or it wasn't effective at all.
Gehenna only works for Bein Adam L'Makom?
If they did, what?
Gehenna only works for Bein Adam L'Makom?
Unless you are mechaper, Gehenna can help to take off things even being on the makom, but it doesn't take away the fact that you didn't fix it up with the other guy. Okay. So that at least is some redeeming factor to that sheet. That in Achinami, things happen in this world that are unjust, but there'll be a time when those injustices will be righted. Okay, so that time is taken away a little bit. Doesn't make it 100% okay, but at least it makes it a little bit less of a question. Now let's see if there is such a shita. So the source of this shita is an Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Read you the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It's in Parshas Vayeshev. Parshas Vayeshev, it says that the brothers conspired before Yosef got within earshot to them. They conspired to kill Yosef. They were to kill him and throw his body into a pit and say that a wild animal had killed him. So Reuven comes and he says, don't kill him. Right? Throw him into... No, they were going to kill him right out. Reuven comes and he says, don't kill him. Let's throw him into a boar. Right? And let him die there. Lo nakenu nefesh. And that was in order to save him, to bring him back to his father. Now the simple meaning is that he intended to come back when they weren't there and get him out of the boar and bring him home. And this way he was, stalling for time. It's buying time. Instead of killing him right out, they were going to just let him starve to death or whatever. There's only one problem. Chazal say that the boar that he suggested throwing him into had snakes and scorpions in it. So it wasn't buying time. He was going to throw him into snakes and scorpions, which was a miracle if he'd live. Because snakes and scorpions, if you fall on them, the Gemara says, definitely attack. They may not attack you if you don't start up with them, but if you fall on them, they attack for sure. So what is he gaining? They're not going to kill him, right? But they're going to throw him onto snakes and scorpions and kill him. What's the difference? And it's hard to say that this would be considered not killing him with their own hands, because the halacha is that if you take a dog and a rabid dog or whatever, and you put the teeth of that dog onto somebody, then it's not the dog that killed him, it's you that killed him. It's like a sword. So if you sick a dog on somebody and the dog kills him, that's, you wouldn't be Chayiv Misa for that. Chayiv Misa b'dei Shamayim. You wouldn't get an earthly death penalty because you only killed him begrama. But here, if you throw him on something, right, that's going to bite him for sure, mistama there, you get a death penalty. It's mamash like killing him with your own hands. It's like throwing a person on a bed of nails. Would anybody think that that's a grama? Right? No, I just pushed him. He happened to die because of the nails. No, you pushed him into a bed of nails, you killed him. What difference does it make? So if you throw him on to snakes and scorpions, they're for sure going to bite. That's not a grama. So even that, normally we learn that he said, okay, we're going to kill him, but we're not going to do it, what's it called, with our hands. We're going to do it with a grama. That makes it a lesser level. But here, Lechora, if they knew there were snakes and scorpions, that would be a grama. So what was the benefit? So to that, the Or HaChayim HaKadosh says the following. Pirish, l'fi sheha'odam bal b'chira, v'ratzo, v'yochol l'harog mishlo nishayim misa. Okay? A person has free choice, and there he can kill somebody who is not liable to a death penalty in the heavens. Seemingly, he can kill somebody who's innocent. Masha'en ken chayos rose, on the other hand, wild animals, they can't harm someone who's not liable to a death penalty, because they don't have free choice. So they are extensions of God's will. They can only do what God's will is. If they kill somebody, then obviously they were liable to a spiritual death penalty. But who amro v'yatzileu miyadam? That's why it says here that he was looking to save him. Miyadim, from their hands. Pirish, miyad habechira. He was saving them from free choice. Ubezeh soser omro, v'nira mayu halomosad. Ki habechira tevatel hadover, v'ein rayim yargu ki sheker dibir. And that would take away what it says, let's see what his dreams are. Because that won't prove that his dreams weren't true. Because it's possible for someone who was a Baal Bechira to kill someone who was a tzaddik. And really his dreams were true, and he was a tzaddik. But a Baal Bechira can kill a tzaddik. So let's throw him and leave it up to the animals. If they kill him, then it's a raya that we're right, that he's a Russian. If they don't kill him, then it's a raya that what's it called, that he's a tzaddik. So we'll leave it up to the animals to decide. Okay. So that's what he says. Seems pretty clear from him, right? If you don't go into it any deeper or look at the sources of where he got it, that what he's saying is that people can indiscriminately kill other people, surely do other things to them, steal from them or whatever, even if that's not God's will, even if the person is not liable to a death penalty, he can be killed anyway, unjustly, because God gave people free choice. Okay, that's the quote that people quote for this sheet. Okay, there's a source to this. Zohar Chaim didn't make it up. The source is a Zohar. The Zohar says like this. The Zohar says like this. begin the Hacha Asar Din Choshen V'Akrabim. He said, because of this, one second, Mipnei Shekan, the Mokom Nechoshim V'Akrodim, why did he say to throw him into a boar of Nechoshim V'Akrodim? Why? Iiu Tzadika Kutshebrichu Yarchish V'Nisa. Because if he's a Tzadik, then God will perform a miracle for him, right? And he will, what's it called, Ulezim Nim Dizachu Da'ava Nesayinlei Labar Nosh V'Yishtaz Ibminayim. Okay, and therefore it's possible that a person could be saved from the Choshem and Akrodim with a nace. Avokivan Dismaser Biyoda Disanui. But if he's handed over into the hands of his enemies, human beings, Zeirun Inu Diachol Nishtazava. Very few people could escape that. Okay? In the Hebrew, Bipne Shekan B'Mokom Nechoshem Yakrodim, Imhu Tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osalo Nes. Upamim shechusavosav omedes l'adam v'yinotzu mehem. Avo kivin shenimsa biyad sonav mu'atim heim hayicholim v'yinotzu. So right away you see that the Zohar doesn't say that it's impossible to be saved. Doesn't say that human beings were given free rein in this world. It's just the difference between the chayas and human beings is by chayas it's more probable that God could do a miracle for a tzaddik, and by human beings, very few people can be saved from human beings. But, mashko they can, even from human beings, even though they were given free choice, it's not total. So then, when yes and when not? Some, the Rabbanu Shel Olam is mafkir people sometimes, and sometimes not. If you're a bigger tzaddik, then you are saved, and if you're a lesser tzaddik, then why? You don't deserve it. What difference does it make if you're a bigger tzaddik or a lesser tzaddik? If God gave free rein to people with free choice, then what difference does it make? Either they have free rein or they don't. If they don't have free rein, then why does God let some people who don't deserve to die, die, and some people who don't deserve to die, live? Then what's the line of demarcation? Mamashah. But that's what the Zohar says. It doesn't say what seemingly the Or HaChaim Kodesh says. Okay, now, the Pardes Yosef brings down the Zohar, and he brings it down like this. You can hear already, he says like this. And Omar, the tov the minpo the good and the choshim, Ruvain reasoned, it's better to throw him into a boar full of snakes and scorpions. If he's a tzaddik, God will perform a miracle for him. That's the Zohar. And now he adds the following. Why? He explains. Since human beings have free choice, the Ein Ratzon Hashem levatelas bechiras Adam, and the Rabbanu Shalom does not want to take away a person's free choice. And therefore it's hard to do a miracle, not impossible, but it's harder to do a miracle even for a tzaddik in this situation. So here again, the Paras Yosef understood it's not impossible. It's not that God was mafker the world to the Bali Bechira, but since God's will is that people should have Bechira, it becomes harder to do a nes for a tzaddik. Not to understand what that means. Why is it harder? Manasha. If God wants Bechira to take precedence, then it should be impossible. If he doesn't, then what's harder? If he's going to do miracles, then why can't he? Why is it harder or not harder? So I think the answer is the following. We have a very simple example. Again, all of this is we never can understand it 100%. So don't ask me questions on specifics. It's just a general idea. And that's the following. We know there's such a thing as a Mokum Sakana. And in a Makom Sakana, a person who may not deserve to die will die. Right? Meaning that if you get up in the morning and you go through a normal day, you have no reason to have a spiritual death penalty on you, You haven't done anything to deserve a spiritual death penalty. You'll make it through the day. What if you decide, and we'll see even if you don't decide, what if you decide that you're bored, so instead of just going through a normal day, you're going to tie yourself onto the railroad tracks. And you figure like this, you know, if I'm supposed to die today, then no matter what, a meteor would come through my roof if I sat in my house. If I'm not supposed to die today, then the train will just float right over me because I'm not supposed to die. Don't try it. I guarantee you the train will not float over me. 100%. Okay? Okay, 99%. The, 0.99. It's not going to happen. Why not? Lahara, when you woke up in the morning, you were not liable to a death penalty. But when you woke up in the morning, you weren't liable or didn't merit nisim gluyim, open miracles. You weren't that big of a tzaddik either, that you deserve miracles to happen to you if your life would be in danger. In addition, in that situation, there's another consideration. You dealt capriciously with your life by tying yourself to the railroad track. So now you maybe deserve to die. If you consider your life so unimportant that you put yourself in such a dangerous situation, then maybe now you deserve to die. But let's say you didn't tie yourself. Snidely Whiplash tied you to the railroad track. I see.
Hello and welcome to Mr. Know-It-All. That's it, you're right.
I'm a little shooter, bro.
See?
Okay, exactly.
I haven't seen you.
And I'm shocked that so many people are saying
hello, Dudley.
Hello.
And so you didn't do anything, okay? Still, when you woke up in the morning, you didn't deserve to die. But you didn't deserve to have open miracles done. So a person with free choice can put you into a situation where now your whole judgment will change. And it's not now that he did against God's will and you're dying and you don't deserve to die. You deserve to live under certain circumstances. The circumstances changed. Because of the new circumstances, now, what's it called, you're going to need much more merit. So there are people in this world who will deserve that merit of having an open miracle happen. But since people have free choice, and it would be an open miracle, and God doesn't want to go against the free choice, so all those factors together mean that the level of the miracle is going to have to be so great, you're going to have to deserve it. And most people don't deserve that. But there are minority people who do, or situations where it happens. But ultimately, bottom line, if something happens to you now, it's God's will. It wasn't God's will in the morning, but it's God's will now because your situation changed. And don't even think of the question, well, didn't God know that the situation would change? Because if you think of that question, then b'chlal, there's no free choice. So that's out of the equation. God, like we always said, deals with us as if he doesn't know. So just take God's knowledge out of the equation completely. So God deals with us as if he doesn't know what's going to be in the future. So as the situation changes, your judgment changes. And God's knowledge of the situation, kibiyochol, changes. And therefore, it's not that things happen that are not God's will. Everything's God's will. But human beings, with their free choice, can create new situations which are makom sakana, which add this idea that God does not like to change and change people's will. He likes to let them carry it through unless there's a real mitigating reason. Why not? Like a big schus. So it's possible it'll change. But ultimately, in the end, God could decide that this person in this situation deserves to die. It's not that you killed somebody who doesn't deserve to die. You put somebody into a situation where now he does deserve to die. And again, doesn't really take away all the questions that we have, because you still have a human being being able to put people into situations, right, of where you need more miracles, but it at least takes away the fact that people can do things that are totally unjust. There's a certain amount of justice here. It's just that the justice changes according to the situation. That's okay. It's not totally a situation of unjustness. Still, a little unjust that God gave a person the permission to put you into a situation to change your deed. But it's less of a problem, less of a question. So in any case, that seemingly is the Zohar and the what's it called and the and then you can see that clearly, because we have situations. Just find. Yeah, okay. Yeah, this Shaila though. So according to the first thing, a Baal Bechira can't even do that. He can only put you in that situation if God wants you in that situation. According to the second Shita, the Baal Bechira can put you into a situation that maybe was not 100% Ratzon Hashem. But once that situation comes about, there's a whole different reassessment of your din. Okay, I wanted to say that there's a machlokas regarding what a doctor is allowed to heal. It could be dependent on this shayla. Okay? It says, what's it called? The rapo yurape. Right? Mikan shenitin rishus lerofe lerapos. So, normally we think that that applies to everything. Any kind of sickness, wound, accident, whatever may have happened, a doctor can heal you. The Ibn Ezra says no. It only applies to things that were brought about by God. But things brought about by human beings, somebody comes and breaks your arm, you can't go to the doctor. No, excuse me. It's only things that were brought about by human beings. Because then it's like the case in the Torah. Two people are fighting, right, and one wounds the other, sends him to bed. For Apo Yurape, he has to pay the doctor bill. So he can go to the doctor. The doctor is allowed to heal. Says the Ibn Ezra, that's only where it's humanly induced. But if it's heavenly induced, you get sick from heaven. Right, the Rebbe Shlomo sends you a machala, then you can't go to the doctor.
What's pneumonia?
Because what?
What's pneumonia? It's not caused by another mechaver.
Yeah, mechaver. So you can't go to the doctor.
We're not allowed to go to the doctor.
That's the Ibn Ezra, not Ibn Ho'ezer. Ibn Ezra. It's a parish on the Torah, it's not the halacha, it's a shita. I don't know if the Ibn Ezra himself held like that. Kind of doubted. Okay? He just said, parish of the Pasuk, there is such a way of understanding that that's what the Torah meant. Now the reason, now one second, and everybody else argues on that and says there's absolutely no difference. Could be that the argument depends on this thing. Is there such a thing that a human being can cause somebody else something that's not Ratzon Hashem? If there is, then you can make such a difference. If there isn't, and ultimately everything is Ratzon Hashem, then there's no difference between if a person broke your arm or God gave you pneumonia. In the end, God broke your arm, because he would have prevented the other guy from breaking your arm if he didn't want it to happen. So ultimately, it's God's will. This machlokas should be dependent. And again, even according to what we said, can a person put you in a situation where you'll be in a makom sakana and then deserve to have your arm broken? So it's true, that may also be God's will, but it was orchestrated partially, at least, by somebody's bechira. So there is a difference. But if you learn, there's nothing that a human being can do that's not Ratzon Hashem, ultimately, then you can't make such a difference between these two things. What else? Yeah, that's okay. That is pretty much... So therefore, this concept that they can blame the Nazis, right, still doesn't hold water. There has to be a reason why, after the Nazis did what they did, God brought this punishment. There can't be no reason at all. So we still look for a reason. So that doesn't take away any rhyme and reason from the world just because of this shita of the Zohar. Because it just makes it that you need more miracles, but if there's a reason, that there has to be a reason. It can't be something that's totally against Ratzon Hashem. It shouldn't happen. There's absolutely no reason people do it against God's will. That's not what the Zohar says, according to what we explain and what it says. So why didn't God do a nace for these people? Why did he make it that they, what's it called, there must be something that they had, or some reason why this didn't happen? She should have to find a reason. Maybe you need a much smaller reason. Right? They weren't tzaddikim gemurim, but there's still some reason. It can't be just reasonless, totally unjust or whatever. So we've narrowed the reka, the background, but we are still up to the fact that there's a reason for everything. So this doesn't absolve us from trying to find reasons, or that there exist reasons for the Holocaust. Okay. The next time we'll go to the second possible reason why there's no reasons, because of Hester Pony. It's true. God does control everything, except when he chooses not to, and that's called Hester Ponim, when he hides his face, and supposedly he puts us into the hefker of nature and the whims of people. Not that people can always do that, but that's a punishment. There's a punishment called Hester Ponim, which means that God will not deal with you with divine providence. He'll just put you into hefker, and we'll see if that exists or not. Is there such a thing? Right? It should come out that since the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, when there has been Hester Ponim, there's no more Nevuah, that there should be no rhyme and reason for anything that happened. And there's tens of Chazal that find reasons for many things that happen in history. So, Chora, this Shita, Soser, open Chazal. Can't be. That we'll discuss next time.